Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Reverend Kirk Bellison and Dr. Cheryl Schiffman, for invitation on behalf of the AME-CIU Partnership Committee. Thank you to Lady June Cole and Dr. Bill Jones. Thank you, Mrs. Grooms and Mrs. Larkin, for gracing us with your presence. Thank you, Allen University Choir and the CIU Ambassador Choir. Your singing lifted us to the throne of grace. And I'm especially grateful to our Lord Jesus Christ for saving us and for creating saints like Dr. Grooms and Larkin, who are examples for us of men and women who how we can live and walk as Christ's children, seeking to reconcile the world to you, and for this ministry of reconciliation, which is the theme of this evening. I wanted to address this issue on how does renewing minds for theological education affect us in the pew, in the church? How are we affected because of people who have chosen to live as reconcilers of men to God? Dr. Harvey and I attended a biannual meeting of the Association of Theological Schools in 2008. At that meeting, in the keynote address, the executive director of the association spoke on a PhD research that he had done. He had encountered an episode of racial discrimination. He himself is a Caucasian. And shocked by it, he decided to explore it further in his PhD research. And so he looked at the association, the correlation between church life and church ministry and racial prejudice. He looked at people who did not attend church and to the degree they espoused, expressed ideas of racial prejudice. He looked at people who attended church occasionally, self-identified themselves as Christians, and their opinions and viewpoints on racial prejudice and their practice of it. Then he looked at people who attended church far more regularly and their espousal of racial prejudice and their practice of it. And he found that those who did not attend church at all, who did not call themselves Christians, were kind people, that they did not practice or believe in racial prejudice. But then he found that those who did call themselves Christians, that those who attended church did practice racial prejudice. They saw themselves in some ways better than people who belonged to a different group. Now, if you notice today, if you heard the announcement and the plaque that was handed to Mrs. Grooms and Mrs. Larkin, the word race wasn't used. The word ethnic was used. And I'll expound on that a little bit later, because that's a very important point. The Bible doesn't use the word race. The Bible uses the word ethnic differences. God created one race, the human race. He created many ethnic. And I was reminded of that by none other than Dr. Jones when he was helping us formulate our mission statement here at CIU. And in the purpose statement, he talked about the idea of many nations of rather than going into the world to impact the nations for Christ with the message of Christ. But what Dr. Alshire found was that it is only when people are taught the scriptures that they attend church, when our minds are renewed so that we are indeed transformed people, that we start behaving in ways that Christ would want us to behave. So I believe there is hope for the church, but there's hope for the church which is taught the scriptures, which has people who are graduates of Allen, graduates of CIU, who serve in churches like AME, who seek to make a difference. And it is these people who seek, by the transformation of the mind of their congregants, hope to bring about a ministry of reconciliation. Occasional attenders are racially prejudiced, but frequent attenders are not. At this point in this message, I hope the point of the topic this evening, that of renewing our minds as theological educators, our task as preachers, as graduates of these two fine institutions, that we would preach the word so that minds are indeed renewed, so that people can indeed be transformed. We want to transform people so that when they attend our churches, they become reconciled to Christ and embody the ministry of reconciliation themselves, that those who attend frequently continue to be bridge builders who seek to live out the gospel of Christ. Our job as pastors of AME and other churches, as graduates of Allen and CIU, is to exegete the word and interpret God's word to his people, and thus be in the ministry of reconciliation as we seek to renew minds so that they'll transform themselves. Another incident took place in 2008, which was very interesting in my career and journey. We saw the election of the first African-American president in the United States. When the country awoke on Wednesday morning that day in November, I noticed among our students who were coming to class the feeling that they were coming to a class where their joy and exuberance at this might not as be appreciated as they felt. They saw the world in terms of black and white, but they were coming into a world which was red and blue. And the people who lived in the red and blue world saw the election of a blue president that they didn't appreciate as much as the one that had lost in their red world. And we needed someone to show them the difference. And we needed to see ourselves, that we can celebrate the election of an African-American president in the black and white world, and that there had to be a difference in the red and blue world that the people who lived there needed to see too. And I remember Dr. Bill Jones inviting the president of Allen at that time to a chapel service so that he could explain to everyone there the difference of what was it meant so much in a black and white world, whereas it hadn't meant so much in a red and blue world. And that kind of interpreters is what we need to be as pastors. Because the world into which we walk into which our people live, may not be a world as God sees it of sinners and sin. It may be worlds which are painted in different hues and colors and textures that we know and experience because we live there. And that is why we are Christ's ambassadors. That is why Christ wanted us to live in this world and exegete this world to our congregation so that they can come into a ministry of reconciliation, that they can seek to be reconcilers of the people to which they are called to serve. The word race is a social construct. I'm called a Dravidian. It's a social construct that the British and other colonial rulers imposed on me. Dravidians are supposed to be short and dark-skinned. They got half of it right. I am dark-skinned. But that is not a construct that is used very much by anthropologists today. They've moved on in terms of how they construct races. It served the European colonials very well in their empires that they created. And it is carried on, unfortunately, in some Christian circles today. The World Christian Encyclopedia by Barrett uses that term. But we, as Christians, need to be on the cutting edge of education. We need to understand that we need to use things that the world uses, but not be enslaved by it. Because we are Christians, we need to be where the anthropologists of today are. In the book, This Side of Heaven, two anthropologists, Dr. Meneses and Dr. Paris, discuss that and explain that very well. One of the issues that's referenced in the book, This Side of Heaven, is the contrast that the Bible ties is not to black and white, but to light and darkness when it talks about the idea of vision of how sin is portrayed. Those in darkness cannot see, while those in light can see and understand. However, literature has not always followed scripture in that same path. And nuances between light and darkness that are presented in the scripture is changed into colors of black and white in literature. As a dark-skinned black person, I always dealt with a problem of reading in English literature that seemed to paint evil as black and contrast it with good as white. I carried with me the self-loathing of being somehow not a good person. And it was with joy that my mind was renewed one day when I came to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, and realized that while authors of literature may have chosen to depict evil as black, God did not. God wrote that sin was scarlet, not black. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as like crimson, they will be like wool. Yes, there is the contrast of white being pure, but the contrast of sin is scarlet. It's not black. With joy, I realized I wasn't given the color of evil. My sins were scarlet, like the blood that was spilt in Calvary, like the blood that flows in my vein, that flows in the veins of every other human being, like the blood that flowed in Christ, who paid the penalty for sin with his blood. He had reconciled us to himself, and in so doing, he had given us the ministry of reconciliation. We need today more than ever to be the embodiment of Christian, Christ-like reconciliation. In 1995, Charlie and Amy Roberts had a little baby girl who lived for 20 minutes and died. Charlie never forgave God. And that bitterness worked in his soul for 9 long years. And one day he walked into an Amish schoolhouse and shot 10 schoolgirls to exact his revenge against God, and then shot himself. The Amish neighbors visited the Roberts family, and at his funeral, the Amish outnumbered the non-Amish. Christ forgave, even as the Amish who followed Christ forgave. Here are some other words of forgiveness that Dr. Schiffman referred to. Nadine Collier, daughter of the victim, Ethel Lance, said this, "I forgive you. You took something very precious away from me. I will never get to talk to her ever again. I will never be able to hold her again, but I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people. If God forgives you, I forgive you." That, ladies and gentlemen, is a renewed mind. That, ladies and gentlemen, leads to transformed life. And a relative, Myra Thompson, said, "I would just like him to know that to say the same thing that was said, 'I forgive you and my family forgives him,' but we would like him to take this opportunity to repent." Repent. Confess. Give your life to the one who matters most, Christ, so that he can change him and change your ways, so no matter what happens to you, you'll be okay. These words reverberated throughout the world. We remember the words of the relatives of the Charleston shootings because they are so counterculture. Who forgives? People with renewed minds.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.